Hello, everybody, and here we are on page two of the script. We want to thank everyone who's going to call in today. The time is I don't know what time it is. It's somewhere around 2:08 and 4 seconds. In the studio this afternoon to discuss podiatry and its related surgeries is Dr. Doug Tooman. We always have such a good time with him here because everybody who has feet wants to know about all those things that could go wrong with them. Dr. Tooman has been practicing podiatry in Kingston for more than 16 years. He's a graduate of the Illinois College of Podiatric Medicine and a diplomate of the American Board of I always have such trouble with this word, podiatric surgeons. He's also board certified in foot surgery.
I have binoculars.
And a fellow of the American College of Foot and Ankle Surgeons. Dr. Tooman, as always, thanks and welcome back to the Vox Pop.
Good to be here.
What's your number one complaint in the office? If you had to quantify it, what is the thing that most people come to see you about?
Most people come to see us for, believe it or not, heel pain. That's the number one complaint that we get. That's a painful complaint.
So like a husband who's a heel? No.
It's usually the wife. I'm not sure. No, I'm just teasing. The heel.
Of course you are.
Heel problems, arch pain, getting out of bed in the morning, your feet hurt, you know, arthritis, bunions, hammer toes. You know, those are some of the common things. Nail problems, you know, the senior population.
I'm going to ask you a couple of questions. Yeah. When the phones ring, we'll answer them. Trust me. But ingrown toenails.
Yes.
That's a bad one, right? I mean, you can really hurt yourself with that, which means you really have to cut your nails off. If you don't, you can really get into trouble, can't you?
Well, you have to trim your nails. You don't want to cut them off. But people out there called bathroom surgeons, and every month they deal with painful ingrowing toenails. And what most people don't know, Alan, is that there's cures, simple cures. We do all the time. Patients come in with ingrown toenail. It's been there forever. And we simply, in one visit, can make it so the ingrowing toenail is never there again. It's like magic.
Wow.
It's a wonderful procedure. You remove just like a little piece of the nail and cauterize the root and get your shoe back on, go about your business, and it's pretty easy to heal from.
Yes, actually, I've had a couple of bad ones in life and gone to the foot doc and had it done, and they don't come back. You're quite right. I want to repeat that because at the end of the show, everybody's going to be yelling at me that I didn't let them in. And 1-800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551, if you've got a foot problem. So in the, you know, back in the big war, there was a lot of talk about, you know, they didn't let soldiers in who were flat-footed. What was that about?
Well, that doesn't work anymore. It doesn't pass muster.
But
in the day,
pass muster.
Back in the day, they felt with the infantrymen that if you had flat feet and you walked for long distances, or you had a march, or do whatever, your feet wouldn't hold up. So that they said, we're not going to let you in. So won't have any foot problems to worry about.
Now I'm expected to rub my wife's feet as often as I possibly can, because, you know, she's convinced that everything in the foot is related to some other function in the body. Like one time I was working on her, and she said that the person who somebody had told her, you know, that's your kidney. So is this true? I mean,
well, nobody's ever told me I'm a kidney doctor. Yeah,
no,
but not,
but
nonetheless, there's something called reflexology.
That's right.
And people believe in it, and there's something to it. And I have to ask, is there reciprocity with the foot rub?
Oh, is there reciprocity with me? No, certainly
no.
Not for years. Right. Well, no. If you want to get there was a movie about a Chinese guy, and he kept five women in this castle. And they were called, it was called the Five Shoes, or the Five Feet, or something like that. And I just thought I'd mention that now. Okay, we'll go to Barbara in Del Mar. Okay, Barbara, you're on.
Hi, I'm calling because I've had a diagnosis from a podiatrist who suggested I might have tarsal tunnel syndrome, which I'd never heard of before, and I got the sense the only possible treatment for it would be surgical, and I thought I would take this opportunity to call you and see if you had any other thoughts on that kind of diagnosis.
Sure. Well, Barbara, first let me get everybody information about what tarsal tunnel is, because that's the first thing Alan asked me. Tarsal tunnel, for everybody listening out there, if you've heard of carpal tunnel in the hand.
Yeah, I heard that.
Yep. It's the same kind of condition in the foot. It's an irritated or pinched nerve in the hand. It's as it courses around the thumb. In the foot, it's as it courses around the ankle. The nerve often gets pinched or entrapped as it makes its way into the foot. And if it does that, it can be actually very painful. Symptoms can be numbness, tingling, pain, just a lot of things. It could be on weight-bearing, off weight-bearing. And it actually is one of the more difficult things in the foot to make better, Barbara. So before you rush into surgery, I will tell you that surgery is successful a good portion of the time, but it's not successful all of the time.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to figure out, first of all, is this tarsal tunnel? And one of the ways you might be able to figure that out is you might go for a test that Alan's familiar with. It's EMGs and NCVs, electromyograms, and nerve conduction studies.
Mm-hmm.
And depending upon those, it's not always definitive, but sometimes that will help.
Is it ever definitive? Neurologists often do it, and as the old saying goes, adios and diagnose and adios.
Right. If it's positive, it is definitive.
I see.
Okay. If it's negative, the test, it doesn't mean you don't have it. It just means it may not be showing up yet on the test. But there are certain things that will cause it. For example, I've treated a whole bunch of patients with tarsal tunnel, and we treat it successfully at the point of entrapment with injection therapy. If the foot is a flat foot or an arch that collapsed, we treat it with orthotics to prevent the rolling in at the ankle so the nerve doesn't pinch. There are a lot of different things that can be considered. Sometimes there's a vein that gets engorged around the area, so sometimes we treat it that way. But in general, surgery can be an option. I would certainly recommend conservative treatment before surgery, especially on tarsal tunnel, because it's not always successful.
What's conservative?
Conservative would be possibly injection therapy or other physical therapeutic modalities, orthotic therapy, other things that your podiatrist might recommend to you, Barbara, before getting into the OR for tarsal tunnel.
When you inject, what do you inject with?
Different things. Sometimes it's corticosteroids. Sometimes
you don't get that from a lab in Massachusetts, do you?
We don't, and we don't inject in the back either. So, Barbara, take every conservative action prior to surgery.
Okay.
And then if it doesn't work, there's always surgical options where you do a tarsal tunnel release, very similar to a carpal tunnel release. You don't take the nerve out. You just free it up so it passes into the foot without being pinched on.
Mm. Very good. Thank you so much for your help.
Thank you, Barbara.
Okay. Bye.
Yeah. Let's go to Mark in Pittsfield. Mark, go.
What I have is pain in my heel, and I don't know if it's plantar
fasciitis.
Fasciitis, yeah, thanks.
You got it.
Either that or the bone spur. Can you have an idea of what would be the easiest way of discerning them?
Sure. Well, plantar fasciitis is the name of the condition that we most often name it.
Named after Mussolini?
Could have been.
Fasciitis, get it? Okay. I'm sorry about that. Yeah.
Well, we're in a political place,
yeah.
So I expected that. Anyway, so...
plantar fasciitis.
Mark, the challenge with the condition that you have, it doesn't matter what it's called. Basically, it means that your heel hurts or your arch hurts, especially getting out of bed in the morning or after you sit and get up. The condition can be painful if you walk a lot. Do you have symptoms like that?
But it varies. It isn't there all the time. You know, I do play volleyball and jump, mm-hmm. and maybe sometimes after that or even after yoga sometimes. You know, I don't know if the Achilles got pulled a little bit into the heel or...
Sure. Does it hurt ever getting out of bed in the morning?
Sometimes, but not all the time. I had a bruised heel 20 years ago, and that hurt every time, like you say, after you sat down for 2-3 hours or better.
Certainly, you might have plantar fasciitis. It's if you had those symptoms, I can say 100%. Without those symptoms, you might have a bruised heel. You might have a heel spur. You might have other tendon issues around the area. A recommendation, if it's been there more than a few weeks and it's not going away, I would check it out with a good local podiatrist to see if they can help you get rid of your heel pain. Heel pain is arch pain, plantar fascia pain. It's really not hard to get rid of if it's treated appropriately. So how long have you had the condition, Mark?
Probably a couple of weeks. And like I say, it's sporadic.
Right.
So, you know what I mean? Like, that heel bruise was there, like, all the time.
Sure. Well, let me just give you a couple of recommendations, and we'll see if you get better with that. I would not be barefoot in the house. I would use some ice, 20, 30 minutes of ice treatments once or twice a day. I would do some gentle stretching of your heel and your Achilles. And don't go barefoot, and wear a good cushion, thick shoe, and maybe put a cushion under the heel. And that's some simple things you can do for starters. If it doesn't work, I'd get it looked at.
Would you stay away from peanuts?
Why is that?
Plantar fasciitis.
Hey, all I can say with a foot is do like we did in Massachusetts and give Mitt the boot.
Thanks, Mark. Thanks, Mark. Appreciate it.
Bye.
1-800-348-2551. We'll take a short break. We'll be right back. So if you are Lisa or Brian, stay right there.
Support for WAMC comes from American Meditation Institute, Averill Park, New York, offering meditation classes for beginners working to reduce stress and enhance their health. AmericanMeditation.org. Adventure Outfitters, Hadley, Massachusetts, offering outdoor clothing, camping equipment, cross-country skis, snowshoes, climbing equipment, canoes, and kayaks, open evenings until 9. AdventureOutfitter.com. Capcom Federal Credit Union, offering home mortgages, auto loans, checking, financial planning, and more, capcomfcu.org. And Arts and Industry Open Studios, Northampton, handmade clothing, jewelry, crafts, fine art, and holiday gifts by 50 local artists, November 10th and 11th, 10 till 5. artsindustryopenstudios.blogspot.com.
Look at them phones. They are really ringing off the hook. Wow. Well, when Doug Tooman is with us, that's what happens. Doug, you have a website, don't you?
Yeah, actually we do, and people love to get information from our site. So if anybody out there wants to get a question answered or speak to us or go to the website, it's simple. It's hvfa.com. That's Hudson Valley Foot Associates. HVFA.com. We'll get you to the website, and we've got offices all over, so lots of good information there, too.
Okay. Linda on Facebook asks, how can I get a great pair of orthotics? I've had many custom orthotics made, and none are great. Okay, and everybody can check in on WMC's Facebook page, facebook.com/WMC Radio. You can tweet us at WMC Vox Pop. Okay, Doug, answer the question. How you get
great
effects?
You get questions from Facebook now,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, sure.
That's
awesome.
We're
really up to date here in Kansas City.
I love it. That's a great question because it's one of the things that I've always prided myself on. I've prided myself on doing wonderful biomechanical evaluations, which is where orthotics start from. You have to be able to evaluate what the person needs, and then a proper casting technique and a great laboratory, and then a doctor and patient that can work together. Most times it's a pretty simple process. However, there are people that really need special attention when it comes to customized orthotics, and you have to have a doctor that listens and really takes the time and effort and uses a great laboratory. We're proud to do that in our office, so make sure that you have those qualifications met.
Okay. Let's go to Lisa in New Paltz. Okay. Lisa in New Paltz, you're on.
Yes. Hello, doctor. Thanks for taking the call. I was recently diagnosed with this corn on the bottom of my foot by my family practice, and basically I walk quite a bit, and it's painful, mostly barefoot, but sometimes I hit it wrong. But it's in under the skin. It's not protruding. And I'm wondering what I should do for that. I have not seen a podiatrist for this yet.
Well, Lisa, good question. You called it a corn in the bottom of your foot. Is that in the ball of your foot, right in the front part of your foot?
It's sort of on the just below the pinky toe in that raised area.
Okay. So let me just explain. There's lots of different things that exhibit themselves in the bottom of the foot, from plantar warts to embedded cysts and plugged up sweat glands. What you have more than likely is what we call, fancy name, an IPK, which is an embedded corn or an embedded callus that comes from too much pressure on one spot of the foot. So it's usually mechanically induced. So what we do for that is we do a mechanical treatment, just like the last caller about good orthotics or something along those lines. Sometimes we'll remove it. And it depends if we think it's going to come back or not. Sometimes the mechanical force, I don't want to get too technical, but basically if you walk a certain way and you continue to walk that way, even if you take it out, it will come back. So what we do is we will remove it at the office visit, but then we'll also do something to remove the pressure from that spot so it doesn't keep getting the same pressure, so you can go for walks without it hopefully coming back. So we're close by, so if you do want to get it looked at, certainly happy to do that, or any good podiatrist in your area as well.
Excellent. Yeah, I'm in the Newport there, and I think it just you just said you're Hudson Valley?
Hudson Valley Foot Associates.
But you have a place in Kingston.
We have a place in Kingston, yes, yeah. We do.
Oh, great. Excellent. Yes. And okay. As far as the procedure, do you dig it out? Is that what happens?
We get our shovel, and we're ready to go.
Tillage is high as an elephant's eye.
Many times can be removed simply without any pain, and sometimes we numb it to take it out, but you won't feel anything regardless, depending on what the lesion is.
Continue walking.
Absolutely. Yep.
Great. Thanks so much.
You got it,
Lisa, thank you.
All right.
Okay, here we go. Okay, and we'll go to Brian, all right, on number 5. Brian, you're on.
Hi. Thank you, Alan.
Sure.
Great show as always, and thank you, Doctor. I have a Morton's been diagnosed, and I have an orthotic made up for it, but I wanted more information. I didn't get too much information. It's a Morton's neuroma. Uh-huh. It's in the ball of my right foot, and it felt initially like when I was hiking, which I do quite a bit of walking, that the sock was balling up underneath my foot, and then eventually it became evident that it wasn't that. It's not too painful, but it certainly is annoying.
Uh-huh.
And I have the orthotic. The orthotic doesn't seem to do much other than spread as it's supposed to close some. But I don't know if I'm just, like, with the orthotic foregoing more damage or lessening the damage. And I don't really know that much about Morton's neuroma. And also, piggybacking that in a general way, can you talk a little bit about plantar warts after that?
Okay, we'll do the best we can. So, Brian, let me tell everybody about neuromas, Morton's neuroma. You're getting good questions today, Alan, by the way. Morton's neuroma is a pinched nerve in the ball of the foot, as opposed to the tarsal tunnel, which is an entrapped nerve around the ankle and the heel. This is in the ball of the foot under the metatarsals. And what it is, basically, Brian, it's a nerve that ordinarily would be the size of, let's say, dental floss, thick dental floss.
Yeah.
And because we walk on the ball of our foot, sometimes it gets chronically irritated by the floor or the bones where it rubs, and that piece of nerve becomes thickened, fibrotic, and enlarged, and it becomes abnormal. It becomes scar tissue, like almost like a piece of gum that's chewed up a little bit instead of that piece of dental floss. And it can become painful. In some cases, really painful. Some just annoying, like there's something in my shoe. I got to move my sock around. I want to massage my foot, take my shoe off. And there's lots of different treatments. Yours doesn't sound that terrible, but what you're doing so far for it may or may not help. Orthotics, they work about half the time for neuromas. And basically, as you said, Brian, they spread out the forefoot so it doesn't get pinched. They eliminate some of the direct trauma forces on it, and it can only help. It's not going to hurt it at all. If you want to live with a neuroma, if you can, wear wider shoes.
Now, do they come and go, Doug?
They can come and go.
Because I've had it, and it does seem to come and go.
One of the things you can't tell a neuroma on x-ray.
Yeah.
So we don't know what stage it's in. Some people, it's so thick it won't go. Some people, it's early onset, so it can come and go. So the next step on treatment, if you don't get the relief you want from the orthotics, then we do, as well as any podiatrist, would do a series of injections to try to shrink the nerve tissue, the scar tissue, to deaden the nerve a little bit. There's also something called the neurectomy, which is removal of the inflamed portion of the nerve, Brian. So these are things that can be done down the road based on how you feel. As far as plantar warts, they're viruses that grow on the bottom of the foot. They're contagious. You could either catch...
Really?
Oh, yeah. You could either have caught it from somebody at a gym or
shower.
You might have had it in your system from showers, absolutely. Mm. Or you might have had it in your system from when you were a kid. And like any virus, like the herpes virus that comes out on people's lips, it can come out at any time on your foot, treated through topical medicines or a laser in our office or other various ways. And if it's not painful, you know, you can live with it if you like. But we usually like to get rid of warts because they are viral. So That's the neuroma and the wart.
Okay. Hey, listen, Brian, you'd be surprised, but everybody wants to talk to the doctor today. So we're going to let you go.
Thank you very much, Alan. Great show.
Thanks, Brian. Okay. 1-800-348-2551. Let's talk to Christina. Christina in, it says Manhattan. Are you calling from Manhattan, Christina?
From New York City, yes.
Yeah, okay, go.
Hi. So I don't have insurance, so it's been kind of limited, the resources I've had to find this problem, but I've been to this school of podiatry and another doctor that was referred to me. It's my large toe. It's extremely painful for about the past 4 years now. And when I had an x-ray done, she had found, like, underneath, like, just below the toe, she had found, like, a growth. And she said the pain is being caused by the toe when it bends hitting that growth.
Mm-hmm.
And that there's no actual diagnosis. She hasn't given me a name for it. And she said that surgery may not be the answer. But, you know, I don't run anymore. I can't wear high heels. And I'm a real estate agent. So I walk sometimes 3 to 4 miles a day. And so anyway, it's kind of wreaking havoc on my life, and I was just wondering if this medical mystery sounds like anything familiar to you. The school of podiatry said they had never, you know, they're not familiar with it. They didn't have a name for it either.
Well, it's a very difficult conversation to have because without seeing x-rays or images or evaluating your foot, a growth somewhere on your foot could be anything, Christina. So is it a bone spur? Is it a arthritic problem? Is it a soft tissue growth? Kind of leaving me in the dark for me to give you advice.
Can you have cancer of the foot?
Well, I'm sure she doesn't have cancer. They would have looked at that.
Well,
we have diagnosed.
To make
the answer, the question. I don't want Christine to be nervous.
Yeah.
We
have
diagnosed.
Thought of that, but
no, it's not cancer. You've been to a doctor. We have diagnosed malignant melanoma from a patient's foot lesion on a number of times in our office.
Wow.
Saved their lives.
So yeah, of course.
Saved their souls.
You got to do it. That's funny. You got to do it fast. Yeah.
You do, and it's something. But really hard to tell, Christina. I hope that you can go to, although the New York school is certainly a good place to go and you have no insurance, I hope that you can get to somebody who can look at you and give you a good diagnosis and get you out of the mystery, because it's not a mystery. It is something that exists and something that can be well-defined. There are no major mysteries around the great toe joint through.
But I don't mind spending the money. I just want to find a doctor that can actually pinpoint it. I mean, we've already spent like thousands with this one doctor and she couldn't find it with the inserts, the orthotics and the x-rays.
Right.
And
there are lots of good podiatrists in New York City, and you know, certainly we can talk off air. If you contact the office, I can give you recommendations.
Oh, that'd be great. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Okay, give me that cell. Give me that email, the web address again.
It's HudsonValleyFootAssociates.com. That's HVFA.com. So if you contact us, we're happy, Christina, to help you.
Thank you, Christina.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
All right. Let's go to Gretchen in Great Barrington. Hi, neighbor. How you doing?
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm not sure if Brian's question with Morton's neuroma is me, now that I've heard some of the stuff, but I love to run about 20 miles a week, and lately, the last few months, I just can't get past the fourth mile without excruciating pain in the ball of just one of my feet.
Mm-hmm.
And I've never heard the Morton's neuroma before. I don't know if it's that.
Mm-hmm.
I did actually have x-rays with an orthopedic
mm-hmm.
doctor,
mm-hmm.
and he did see that I had some stress fractures that looked like they'd healed,
mm-hmm.
like the two middle metatarsals.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, he couldn't really tell me any more about the just excruciating ball of foot pain.
Okay. Well, Gretchen, it's again, a good question, challenging question. I also am a runner. Done about 9 marathons, so I run almost every day, and I want to keep anybody and everybody out there exercising and in shape. So if you get to 4 miles and you start to get foot pain, let me ask you a question. Does it get relieved when you stop, or does it continue?
It's been so bad lately that I almost have to limp home, like, for the last
really?
Half mile. And then
okay.
I take the running shoes off and put on some different shoes, some clogs, and it seems to go away.
Okay, and wake up the next morning, you're fine?
Yep, I can do. I try to run every day as well, and I can get like my run done, but I just can't get past that 4 mile mark for some reason. I do a lot of hills,
mm-hmm.
but I'm just wondering if it's this stress fracture healing?
No,
it
wouldn't be the stress fracture.
Okay.
That's something that would stop you from running a lot faster than 4 miles, and it would hurt a lot more after the running and before the running. So it very well may be a neuroma that you're irritating. It really needs someone to look at it. It's not related to the stress fractures.
Okay.
You would have swelling in your feet. You'd have a lot of other things going on.
What's the definition of neuroma again?
Neuroma is a pinched or entrapped nerve,
okay,
a large nerve in the ball of the foot. A stress fracture is a hairline fracture in the metatarsal bone, but that hurts all the time, not just with running. You couldn't get 4 miles in, so it's not a stress fracture.
I never even knew I had those, and he said they only show up on x-rays after they've healed, so that was interesting to me.
You also could have other things going on, and it's worth a visit with somebody who does sports medicine, biomechanics, and who's familiar with runners a little bit.
That's a good tip.
And what's a metatarsal again?
Metatarsal is one of the five bones that attach
to each of the toe.
Yeah. They have the long bones, and they take a lot of the weight-bearing load in the forefoot. But it very well may be a Morton's neuroma or a neuroma in the ball of your foot, Gretchen.
Okay.
So I would do two things. One, I would change shoes to a different running shoe style. So if you're in, Brooks or Nike, just switch to a different style. And I would also switch one of the laces in the forefoot. So go from the first to the third. Don't do the second one. Give you a little more breathing room in the forefoot.
Oh, that's interesting.
And then if it still doesn't work, then I'd come in.
And I did purchase a little metatarsal support that you put in the shoe, but I kind of took it out because I felt like it was actually making it more intense.
Yeah, it's hard to know. So anyway, we could talk for hours, but really should get looked at. But you can keep running as long as your foot's not swollen. Just stop when it hurts and get it looked at so it doesn't hurt anymore.
Oh, that's great. Thank you so much, Doctor.
Okay. Thank you, Gretchen.
Thank you.
Okay, let's go to Kate in Western Massachusetts. Kate, you're on.
Hi. I have a question. I have a 28-year-old daughter who has had issues with bunions since she was about 15. One foot doesn't seem to bother her as much. The other one seems to be active. It swells, and she's in a lot of pain. She has a hard time wearing shoes. She did see a podiatrist who told her that it wasn't bad enough for surgery, but she's always in pain. Is there a point where you would know that it was time to have the surgery done, and do you have to have it done again later?
Great questions, Kate. And the primary indication for bunion correction would be pain. It doesn't matter how big it is. It matters how painful it is. Matter of fact, we have really large grandma bunions that we don't operate on because they're not painful, and we have little small ones that we do because they're painful.
Okay, so let's just go over this one more time. Bunions is our favorite question here, but what is a bunion again?
Good question. A bunion, and by the way, it is hereditary, so if you don't have them, Kate, maybe the other side of the family or grandma
did.
Yes, it was your husband. You knew it all along.
He does.
Gotcha.
So,
but his don't bother him.
He ought to be ashamed of himself. Yeah, go ahead.
A bunion is along the big toe joint. It starts to look a little bit enlarged or deformed, and it starts to protrude. So over by the big toe, that starts to stick out, and then the big toe starts to go over to the second toe. It's not really an enlarged bone. It's a bone that's moving from one position to another. So when the doctor says it's not large enough, he's looking at how much it's moved. But quite frankly, it doesn't matter if it's moved a little or a lot. If it's painful, it can and probably should be fixed if your daughter's in that much discomfort. So
she's been a year and a half of wearing Crocs. You know, those big wide box shoes because she can't get anything else on her feet.
Yeah, at 28, there also may be some underlying things. For example, it's not just the bunion, but sometimes there's a nerve that runs along the bunion. So even though the bunion's not big, the nerve gets irritated. So there's a lot of things that can contribute based on the deformity. And even if it's not big, it's still a candidate. And the good question about does she need to have it again. In the old days, my grandma's days, when somebody had a bunion, notoriously they had it again about 20 years later. It doesn't happen anymore like that. If she gets it fixed once by the right doctor, they will correct it so it doesn't come back ever again. It's one and done.
Can't come back in another place?
Not in that place. That's what you're worried about. You can get one on the other foot.
Yeah.
But where in the old days it would come back in the same place because the bunion deformity wasn't corrected.
Yeah.
They just took the bump off. Nowadays, we fix it and we do the things necessary, Kate, so her bunion won't come back even at 48 or 58.
Do you ever think, Kate, that you should have had genetic counseling before you went into this marriage?
Well, I always tell him it's a good thing he's cuter. He'd be living in a box in the woods.
Who controls the thermostat?
Thank you very much, Doctor. Is there a board certified or a place where I can look for the podiatrist? I obviously took her to was elderly, so I don't.
Where do you live? Where do you
in
live?
In Massachusetts.
Yeah, well, I got that already, but where in Massachusetts?
In Lenox.
Oh, in Lenox. I know Lenox. Yeah, so, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Is daughter in Lenox also?
I'm sorry?
Is your daughter in Lenox also?
Yes, she is, yes.
Okay. Well, you can, again, off air, you can contact our office, and we can recommend someone. And if you want another opinion, we're not that far away.
Okay, and what's the phone number there?
The phone number of our main office in Kingston is 845. Is it okay to give this?
Sure.
845-339-4191.
Awesome. I will be contacting you. Thank you so much.
Thanks very much, Kate.
All right.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
We're going to take a short break. We'll be right back.
Support for WAMC comes from the Hudson Valley Heart Center, providing cardiovascular care throughout the Hudson Valley with services including nuclear, echo, CT angio, and vascular testing to help evaluate cardiovascular wellness. HVHeartCenter.com. Laurie Stilwell, CPA, PC, providing tax and accounting services for businesses and their owners in Saratoga Springs and beyond, StilwellCPA.com. Spectrum 8 Theaters, Albany, showing Hollywood, American, independent, and foreign films. Their Ultraviolet Cafe is next door for before or after the show. Open daily, Spectrum8.com. And the Waldorf School of Saratoga Springs, celebrating 30 years of educating children and striving to inspire a lifelong love of learning. WaldorfSaratoga.com.
Ray Graff picks out that great music, and we love him for it. 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. We'll go to Stan in Clifton Park. Hey, Stan, you're on.
Stan.
Hi, it's Dan.
Dan? Yeah.
Oh, I'm so sorry, Dan. Appreciate
no problem, Alan.
Yeah.
Every now and then, I mean, I don't know, maybe once a month, maybe more frequently, I get up out of bed in the morning, and I can't walk on my right foot. It's usually my right foot. I don't recall it ever happening on the left. It is just so painful, I can't walk on it. But strangely, if I then try and walk on my toe, on my right toes, I can do that. And, you know, in a matter of hours, it sort of dissipates. I just wondered what the heck it is. Is it a cramp? Is it a what?
Well, Dan, let me ask you, is it around the heel and the arch where the pain is?
It seems to be all over. More towards, it seems to be, it's hard to say, but more or less all over the foot.
Okay. Can I ask your age, Dan? How old are you?
I'm 88.
88. Okay. So, you know, it's likely that it may be arthritis that makes you stiff in the morning.
I know that.
That could be it.
All over my body, but yeah. I never thought about it with respect to the foot.
Yes, that's one thing that makes morning pain. Tendonitis can make morning pain. And that thing we talked about earlier called plantar fasciitis from that dictator guy, that also can cause morning pain. But if you're 88 and it walks off, if you want to get it looked at, it may be a good idea. But if you're not in pain throughout the entire day and you're functioning, that's up to you. But those are the usual things. Arthritis, tendonitis, plantar fasciitis in the morning. Those are the things that
What meds do they use for arthritis?
Well, it depends. Sometimes nothing.
Something like that. Something nothing. Yeah.
You know, other times it could be the nutritional supplementations, the glucosamines, then there's the anti-inflammatories, the Advils, and the prescriptions.
In a lot of cases, docs have given me glucosamine to take, and it never has seemed to help. I think it's one of those things that, you know, you give your dog and you take it and it doesn't
seems
work.
Seems to help the dogs, but...
I actually take Celebrex for my
arthritis. That's an arthritic medicine. Yeah. But if it's not helping your foot, then you may want to get your foot looked at to see if that can be made to go away. I would also, before you get out of bed, I'm not sure if this will help you, Dan, I would stretch your feet up and down and back and forth, make circles, get the blood flowing and circulating before you get out of bed. Stretch a little bit and see if that helps.
That sounds good.
Good luck to you, Stan.
Thank you very much, Doctor.
Bye-bye.
You're welcome.
Yeah. Have a good one. Bye.
Okay, and 1-800-348-2551. Chances of getting in now are getting better and better. Only two people already on the phone. Let's go to Tom in Saratoga. Tom, you're on.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon. Can you hear me?
Vaguely. What kind of strange device are you using?
No, it's just a regular cell phone.
Oh, I thought maybe you were yelling through a tin can with a piece of wire at the end of it. But
no, I upgraded just last month. Last guy on the planet to do so.
Go ahead, Tom.
Planner's warts. I had some on my foot. It's only on one foot, but there are three or four places. The general practitioner doctor froze those, and we did a regimen of the regular Dr. Scholl's wart stuff on that. But they kept coming back, and now I've got one that's not only on the bottom, but it's almost on the side of the foot. And in the last year, that thing's grown to about the size of a dime. Ooh. Just wondering what's the best way to deal with these things.
That's a good question, sorry you got that, Tom. I'm going to assume it's plantar warts because that's what you're saying, and you had it looked at by a doc. As it continues to grow, some people, they just spread and they don't go away, and you may have to have one of a number of things, which is treatments by a podiatrist, and those treatments can consist of anything from laser treatments to removal of the warts to cauterizations to freezing of the warts, home medicines. There's a whole lot of treatments.
Are there any meds?
Yeah, there are some medicines that we recommend, usually topical medicines versus the oral medicines.
Yeah.
Oral medicines for plantar warts don't really work so well.
Mm-hmm.
So it's either topical treatment, cauterizations, or removal.
Removal
so if you're
of what?
Removal of the wart.
Oh, I thought you meant the foot.
So we try to avoid that, except in extreme cases like Tom's. But
it's a bad day, Tom.
So, but Tom, you know, if it's growing and you got more than one now, you may want to think about having them looked at again and treated a little bit differently.
They did freeze the ones on the bottom. They did it a couple weeks, three or four times, several weeks apart from each other, and that was the regimen he started with that. But just in the last year or so, as I said, now I've got one growing. It's almost, you know, off the sole of the foot onto the side.
Yep.
And the ones on the bottom aren't as bad,
right?
But they're still there. But this one is really becoming a real pain.
Yeah, it's just location. It's like real estate on the foot. Wherever that location is, if it's getting too big in the wrong spot, it's going to hurt. So that's what drives people in, is when they hurt.
So you said this is transferable? Is that what you said?
It is, and that's why it's spreading. You know, there's usually a virus inside.
Well, but also, do you have family, Tom? You know, you got to be careful about that. You got to make sure you, you know, use Clorox on the floor.
Good
well,
point,
so
doctor.
Far it has not even spread to the opposite foot yet. So I'm not worried about everybody else's feet, and
this
so far they're all good to go.
That's what we call heavy FLWs, or famous last words.
Well, you know, share the grief, share the wealth, right?
Exactly.
Nice guy. Thanks, Tom.
Good luck, Tom.
Oh boy. Let's go to Barbara in Saratoga. Barbara, you're on.
Hi. I have a question about your opinion on this possible remedy for athletes. What I had been trying topical remedies, which usually helped alleviate the situation, and then it always comes back. Recently, I, for other reasons, was changing my diet, getting off sugars and starches, and it seems to have cleared up quite well and doesn't seem to come back with the regularity it had. Because I think fungal infections feed on sugars. Is that correct?
Well, it could be yeast infections, which feed on sugars and things like that. So cleaning up your diet has a lot of great benefits, Barbara. The question is, will it get rid of the athlete's foot? So any type of remedies that you have at home that work are great. If they don't work, then you need some over-the-counter or prescription medicines to eliminate the fungus. The skin in the bottom of the foot is the thickest skin in the body, so that's why sometimes it's hard to get rid of. Plus, we put shoes on and socks, and it's warmer and hotter inside of our shoes. There might be some sweating in the environment as well. So giving them air is really great, and if you don't get rid of them, you can pick up any over-the-counter antifungal that's for that, or you can get a prescription antifungal.
Well, I've done that, and as I said, that's temporary. I'm wondering if you ever recommend, you know, the change in diet, because it does seem to be more lasting.
Well, everybody's different. In most of our cases that we get, it's because of the environment of the feet and the hot feet, the sweating feet, and diet doesn't really make a dent on that. But if somebody is prone to yeast infections, candida, and other things like that, diet can do miraculous things and for many people.
Barbara, thank you. Appreciate it. Yeah. An additional athlete's foot question. You know, I've had it from time to time, and it's almost always between the toes, but sometimes it gets on the ball of the foot also. So it's sort of an old tale. I wouldn't say wives, because then you get into trouble or something like that, in which, you know, it's always seen as being between the toes, but it can be in other places on your foot, right?
Oh, yeah, we commonly see it in the entire bottom of the foot.
Really?
There's different kinds, but the one that's more dangerous is between the toes.
Yeah.
Because then sometimes you can actually get a bacterial infection.
Oh, boy.
On top of the fungal infection.
Oh, my.
And you get a cellulitis. So we've seen that, especially in diabetics. So we like to take care of athlete's foot in everybody, but especially diabetics and compromised patients.
But when I buy the stuff, over the counter, it always says, use it until the thing is over. I always use it one time and it goes away.
Which is great. You have an easy case.
Yeah, an easy case. Okay. Thanks. Thanks for that. Let's go to...
Usually takes 2 weeks at least to get rid of
not for me.
People.
No, no, it's almost immediate. Rob, how's your athlete's foot?
I have never had it.
Oh, boy, you haven't lived. There's nothing but the pleasure pain of an itch like that. Yeah.
Well, actually, I've had the same thing. Yeah, the same fungus in a different area.
Oh,
so
boy.
I know it's like.
Oh, boy.
Actually, I'm calling about neuromas. Okay. I've been dealing with neuromas in both feet for a good 10 years. I've had various orthotics. None have ever done any good. I've had various injections, none of which have ever done any good. And I did have the cryosurgery on one foot, but not by your office, and it didn't do anything. So I'm kind of wondering whether I should try the cryosurgery again, perhaps through your office, or whether I should go for something even more aggressive.
Tell everybody what cryosurgery is.
Sure. And going, your audience has a lot of nerve today, I'll tell you that.
No, they do.
Anyway, again, with the neuroma, it's a four-foot nerve irritation, usually between the second and third or the third and fourth toes and around
four-foot
the ball.
Four-foot is pretty tall, isn't it?
Yes. It's actually 48 inches. So when somebody has neuroma, we cure a lot of them like you have been attempted to be cured with the conservative treatments, but there is a percentage of patients, Rob, that don't get cured with the conservative treatments. Cryotherapy will go to the next level. Cryotherapy is done through a small little puncture in the area, and you have a cryo probe, which goes to extraordinarily cold temperatures, and it deadens or freezes the nerve.
Ooh.
And it doesn't hurt necessarily, but it will get rid of a lot of the nerve pain in a lot of the patients that have neuromas, but not all again. The next step up is the tried and true neurectomy, which has been done for as long as we've been doing foot surgery. And that's something that we should probably talk about, or whoever you want to talk about it with you to see if that's the next step for you. Certainly, you're not burning any bridges with cryotherapy, Rob. So that's certainly an easy way to try to get relief. However,
I do have to say that at least the surgery itself and the recovery was pretty good.
It's easy.
Just that it didn't do anything.
Yeah,
you can miss
the nerve when you do the cryo. You know, potentially.
And a neurectomy means taking out a nerve.
Taking out the nerve. You make an incision over the bad nerve and you take it out. So certainly, but those are your two treatment remedies left: neurectomy, removal of the nerve for the neuroma correction, or cryotherapy. Rob, so those are where you're at.
Hey, Rob.
Could you just briefly, is there any difference between just a general neuroma and a Morton's neuroma?
Basically, it's the same thing. Morton's neuroma refers to the neuroma between the third and fourth toe, but they're basically the same in the ball of the foot.
So, who was Morton anyway?
He was some
guy.
French guy.
The salt guy.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Thanks, Rob.
Okay, thank you.
Your listeners are good. They pay attention.
Yeah, they do. And some of them are very funny, which I love. Let's go to Gina in New Paltz. Okay, Gina, you got a very interesting question. Go ahead.
I do?
Yeah.
So here's my question. My daughter, who's 21 years old, has had nail fungus for probably the last 10 years.
Right.
And I brought her to a podiatrist, and he was, you know, surprised to see someone so young, first of all. Every toe is engaged in the nail fungus. And we, two or three times, did a course of treatment. I forget the name of it. It's a nail polish.
Yep.
It's a prescription.
Yep.
Penlac, that's it. But it was, it's hard to keep up. It was hard to take off once a week.
It's not going to work when it's in that young age, when it's affecting all the toes, Gina. So recommendation, I'll just give you the next levels of treatment.
Well, before you do, tell us what it is, Doc.
She has a fungus in the toenails. Onychomycosis is what it's called.
So when you look at your toenails,
The toenails are yellow. They're maybe thickened. They're discolored. They're not normal when you look at them. Somebody would have a 21-year-old would have a nice, healthy, normal nail, and they're proud of it. And this girl, unfortunately, is probably a little embarrassed and ashamed of her nails, and it shouldn't be like that. So the next levels of treatment, Gina, are going to be either oral medications or the laser treatments. And
do they work? Do the laser treatments work? Does the I didn't want her to go on the oral medication when she was younger because there's some, I think, kidney. It could cause kidney.
It's actually liver issues, but they're overrated. And we actually have different ways of administering them, so it can be done in a very – I've never had a complication from that. However, I do have the laser in the office, and I have patients absolutely positively do not want to take a pill that can anyway affect them internally. So that's why we have the laser. And it does work for the right condition. If you have a nail – and I don't mean to get graphic here – but a big 3-inch high nail that maybe a senior might have that is no longer anywhere normal, anywhere near normal, the laser probably won't work for that. But if the nails are not too thick – and the nails are have evidence of fungus in them, the laser can be a wonderful treatment without having to take a pill. Either way, those are good treatments, Gina, and definitely both can work for her. We got to move on.
Just really quickly, if her nail is too thick, then the oral treatment would be better?
Yeah, we're not far from you, so, you know, it works.
And if you're out there and you're looking for the Kingston office number, we'll give it to you, but not right now. Okay.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay, let's go to John in North Adams. John, we're really up against the clock here. Can you do it in a sentence?
Oh, I can do it pretty quick. I took a fall back on the 4th of July 4 months ago, twisted my ankle, and I'm still having problems with it. Is that normal for a 53-year-old to be in pain for that long?
No, it's not, John. Let me just mention, there's an old saying, a sprain can be worse than a break because a break gets diagnosed and treated, and sprains get untreated. There's a lot of things that can happen in a sprain. Just very briefly, you could have torn a ligament. You might have a bone chip somewhere. You might have cartilage damage in the ankle. And 4 months, you need to get it looked at.
So where do podiatrists stop? In other words, podiatrist is the foot. Do you go to the ankle?
Yep.
You go to the ankle.
Yep. Okay. We have a new law in New York now that
says ankles are okay.
Ankles are okay.
Or ankles away.
So, good podiatrist, orthopedist, wherever you want to go to, but you should get it looked at, and you may need an MRI to see if there's any damage in there. John?
I was afraid of that.
Yep.
Hey, real quickie, what's the best way to get rid of planter's warts?
Pray. No, again, there's lots of different ways to do it. There is no one best way. It depends upon where they are and what you have. So please make sure the plantar warts first, and then think about the best way with you or your doctor to get rid of them.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Okay,
John. Bye. Boy, I'll tell you, if everybody had called in the first time, you'd get more calls in. But this is tough. We'll go to George in Nassau. George, you're on very quickly now.
Okay, I have an extremely sensitive area between the second and third toes on the top of my left foot. There is no obvious difference between that skin and the rest of the skin. On the bottom of the foot, it feels like I have a folded-up handkerchief. I check to make sure my socks are not folded under. My shoes have no business. The onset of this happened about the same time I had surgery on my right hip. This is on my left foot. So I'm wondering if the two are related, or is that just a coincidence?
It's a coincidence more than likely. You may have been favorite and brought something to the forefront. It actually sounds, believe it or not, George, from Nassau, you might have a neuroma in the ball of your foot. I hate to use that same diagnosis, but this is the day for neuromas. So
okay.
That may be what you have. Go to a good podiatrist in Nassau County.
Rensselaer County.
Oh, Rensselaer County. Okay.
Yep. Yeah, I made that mistake the last time myself. Hey, George, I'm so sorry. We are out of time.
Thank you. Thanks a lot.
Okay, and David and James, I wish we could have taken your call, but we can't. First, from Doctor, tell us what the telephone number is.
Telephone number, 845-339-4191, HVFA.com. HudsonValleyFootAssociates.com.
HVFA.com.
HudsonValleyFootAssociates.com.
Right, gotcha. We are out of time. Thanks, everybody, for calling in. A wonderful show, and we apologize for the very bad jokes, at least I do, and to those people left on the line. Right. Dr. Doug Tooman, again, thanks for joining us. Underwriting support for the Medical Monday comes from the hospitals of HealthQuest and HealthQuest Medical Practice. Physicians offering primary and specialty health care in private office settings throughout the Hudson Valley, 1-888-525-4767 for appointments. I also want to thank our magnificent engineer, Zach Malloy, and who is on doing the phones today? Okay. And our wonderful phone answering staff for answering the phone. I know it's not Daryl Bard. Thanks for listening. Stay tuned now for a news update and for some wonderful Vox Pop music. Have a cup of coffee. Take it easy. Go out and make sure you're making plans to vote for tomorrow because it's very important. I mean, it's your country. It's your democracy. You make sure you go out there and vote. Do you think I've filled up enough time now, Zach? Yes. Zach says yes. Okay. Goodbye, everybody. See you the next time.
Thank you, Alan.
Thank you, Doug. Great show.